Have any of you had the experience of visiting someone, maybe it was a grandfather, a grandparent, or an uncle, aunt, who was nearing the end of their life?
Est-ce que ça vous est déjà arrivé de rendre visite à quelqu'un qui était en fin de vie?
Oui.
Yeah? Yeah, yeah. Would you want to share any of you sort of how that was like?
Est-ce que quelqu'un veut partager cette expérience avec nous?
Just very briefly, obviously.
Bittersweet. For my grandmother, knowing that she was a Christian going to heaven, but I was living here on earth.
Did you talk with them at all? Were they able to talk to you? Sometimes, when one's nearing the end of life, they can't really, maybe they don't have the force to talk, the strength to say much, or so, but were they able to...
Donc il disait que c'était une expérience triste, mais pas en même temps parce que c'était sa grand-mère qui était chrétienne, donc il savait qu'elle allait rejoindre Jésus.
Death has a way of focusing our attention on what we believe matters.
La mort fait qu'en sorte qu'on met toute notre attention sur ce qui est important.
For the person who is facing the possibility of imminent death, sort of the nice coating that we paint on life is stripped away, and they are able to talk about difficult things.
Pour la personne qui fait face à une mort imminente, ça fait que la personne est capable de parler de choses difficiles.
To put it simpler, it's easier to be blunt, to be honest about life's sorrows and life's joy and what really matters in life when one is close to death, because we don't have to sugarcoat things.
Pour le dire d'une manière plus simple, c'est plus facile de parler des choses difficiles de la vie quand on fait face à la mort, parce que c'est le moment de le faire, c'est maintenant qu'il faut en parler.
I remember when I was a kid, with my father, we went to visit a very elderly brother of our church because he was nearing death's door.
Quand j'étais enfant, j'ai rendu visite avec mon père à une personne qui était proche de la mort.
And this brother was an amazing example of ordinary faith in God.
Et ce frère était un exemple parfait de quelqu'un qui avait une foi ordinaire en Dieu.
And by that I mean that he was an ordinary man. Right? He wasn't positioned in a place of power or influence, with an ordinary job. But he had an extraordinary trust in God.
Et par ça, je veux dire que c'était un homme ordinaire qui avait une vie assez ordinaire, mais qui avait une foi extraordinaire en Dieu.
And our visit to this man, his name was Winston, to Brother Winston, struck me quite deeply.
Et cette visite qu'on a rendue à Winston m'a frappé.
See, because when we went to meet him, there was only one thing that this brother wanted to do.
Parce que quand on est allé le rendre visite, il y avait une seule chose que ce frère voulait faire.
We'd go and meet him, and he could barely get up. He had to lay in bed, and he had that sort of bed that you could sort of, it was like a hospital bed, right? So you could incline it up, so you had to incline it up. He could talk, but it would be very slow and obviously quite painful for him.
Et ce frère, il pouvait même pas se lever. Il était coincé dans le lit. Il pouvait parler, mais il parlait très lentement.
And the one thing, the only thing he wanted to do was to sing songs of worship to his Lord.
Et la seule chose qu'il voulait faire, c'était de chanter des cantiques à Dieu.
See, rather than focus on his life's regrets or the sorrows that he faced in life, maybe unfairness that he had to deal with, he would have rather remembered, he preferred to remember God's faithfulness to him and the joy that God's faithfulness continued to bring him, even at death's door.
Au lieu d'être concentré sur ses regrets qu'il a peut-être dans sa vie ou sur les moments d'injustice qu'il a vécu, il voulait mettre toute sa concentration sur la joie de Dieu.
For me, this brother was a prime example of what a mature faith looks like, because he was able to appreciate all of his life's experiences through the lens of God's care for him.
Pour moi, cet homme, c'était un homme exemplaire d'une personne qui a la foi, parce qu'il voulait être concentré sur la joie que Dieu lui a apportée dans sa vie.
Something similar is happening here in this point of Joseph's story.
Il se passe une chose assez similaire dans cette partie de l'histoire de Joseph.
See, we are meeting and visiting Jacob on his deathbed.
Là, on voit Jacob qui fait face à la mort.
Like Brother Winston, Jacob, when hearing that his son Joseph was coming to visit him, we see in verse 2, he had to rally his strength and set up on bed. He's ill. He's dying. And we're visiting him on his deathbed.
Comme ce frère Winston, Jacob aussi, on le voit dans le verset 2, doit rassembler ses forces pour pouvoir parler à son fils.
And we know this meeting is going to be interesting. Because we know that Jacob was a man who wrestled with God all his life.
Et on sait que ce rencontre va être intéressant parce que Jacob, il a passé toute sa vie à combattre avec Dieu.
So much so that God renames him Israel. That's why we see many times he's mentioned by the name Israel in this chapter. And that name means struggles with God, one who struggles with God, or one who God struggles with.
Et il a tellement combattu avec Dieu que Dieu lui a donné un nouveau nom, Israël, qui veut dire un homme qui a combattu avec Dieu ou avec qui Dieu a combattu.
Yet here, at the end of his life, we see that Israel moves from a place where he's constantly wrestling with God to a place where he can recognize that God has been his shepherd and deliverer throughout his life, keeping him from harm.
Mais là, on voit que Jacob arrive à un point où il ne se bat plus avec Dieu, mais il reconnaît Dieu comme son berger et comme la personne qui lui a livré toute sa vie.
It's a wonderful change to see in Jacob. And as we look at how Jacob's faith has matured near the end of his life, hopefully we will be able to appreciate the maturing of our own faith as people who, like Jacob, more often than not, spend time wrestling with how God works in our lives.
Et quel changement! On peut voir la maturité de la foi de Jacob dans ces passages, et on peut espérer que nous aussi, en admirant la maturité de cette foi, on peut espérer observer aussi la maturité de notre foi.
So to put things in context, and to recap sort of the story that we've read, Joseph hears that his father is sick, so he goes to visit him with his two sons, Ephraim, Manasseh and Ephraim.
Donc pour récapituler ce que se passe, Joseph il entend que son père est malade, donc il va rendre visite à son père.
During that visit, two important things happen.
Donc pendant cette visite, il se passe deux choses importantes.
And through these two events, we are going to learn two important things about a maturing faith.
Et à travers ces deux événements, on va apprendre deux choses importantes par rapport à une foi qui mûrit.
The first, it's this. We're going to see this in verses 1 to 7. It's that though life may be difficult and sometimes sad, God's promises can always be trusted.
La première chose, on va le voir dans le verset 1 à 7, c'est que même si la vie est difficile et parfois triste, les promesses de Dieu, on peut faire confiance aux promesses de Dieu.
Jacob, when sort of summarizing his life to Joseph, I hope I don't mix these two names up too much, but when he summarizes life for Joseph, there are two experiences that stand out for Jacob.
Quand Jacob raconte sa vie à Joseph, il y a deux instances dont il se souvient.
Did you guys notice these two experiences that he mentions? The first we see in verses 3 and 4, and the second we see in verse 7.
Donc le premier événement on voit dans les versets 3 et 4, et le deuxième dans le verset 7.
So what are they? Who wants to share the first experience? Donc, you may need to read verse 3 and 4.
Quelles sont ces deux expériences que Jacob raconte à Joseph?
Whoever gets there first, go ahead, shout it out.
God had promised the great nation, community people, and give him the land.
So, the first experience is a moment when Jacob is fleeing from his home because he tricked his older brother, and his older brother got so angry that he wanted to kill him. Jacob has to flee, and in fleeing, God appears to him and blesses him. So that's the first experience that stands out in his life, and he appears to him at Luz.
Donc le premier événement, c'est quand Jacob quitte son pays parce qu'il a trompé son frère, et son frère, il est tellement en colère qu'il veut le mettre à mort, et que Dieu est apparu à Jacob.
And what's the second? Verse 7.
Et la deuxième, verset 7.
Yeah, it's a sad experience. His wife passes away. And it comes in a bit of an awkward point in the story, right? We go around reading, and then we come across verse 7, and we think, how do you get there, right?
Donc la deuxième expérience, c'est dans le verset 7, c'est la mort de sa femme Rachel.
Well, there's something beautiful and telling in this contrast of how Jacob summarizes his life.
Il y a quelque chose de beau dans cette manière que Jacob y raconte sa vie.
See, because one of these experiences is an incredibly encouraging moment for a boy facing an incredibly tough time as he flees from home. Joseph has, he's running away because of something wrong that he's done to someone. And he has nothing. He's so poor that he has to sleep on stones.
Donc le premier événement, c'est une chose assez encourageante qui arrive à ce garçon qui quitte son pays et qui n'a rien. Il est tellement pauvre qu'il dort sur des pierres.
And in that moment, God appears to him through a dream and blesses him. And we see that sticks with Jacob all throughout his life as an encouragement and as a statement that God is with him.
Et à ce moment-là, Dieu lui est apparu dans un rêve et on voit que cet instant est resté avec Jacob toute sa vie.
And the second experience is something that happens after Jacob has amassed a lot of wealth. He's got wealth. He's got his family. He's got 12. Yeah, he's got 12 sons. But he's got everything a man would want. But he loses his wife. He goes through an incredibly sad time.
Et la deuxième expérience arrive après que Jacob a toutes ses richesses. Il a une grande famille. Il a ses fils. Mais il perd sa femme.
One of these experiences an expression of God's special blessing and intention on him, and the other is the bitter reality of life's pain and struggle.
Donc une de ces expériences, ça raconte la bénédiction de Dieu dans sa vie, et la deuxième raconte la réalité de la vie.
This can be our experience as well in life.
Ça peut aussi être notre expérience dans la vie.
On the one hand, we might live through moments where we feel blessed by God, where we feel His favor upon us.
D'un côté, on passe par des moments où on ressent la bénédiction de Dieu, on voit sa faveur.
We read Psalm 107 this afternoon, and in that psalm, we see that the psalmist asks those who've been blessed or those who've been redeemed by the Lord to tell their story. You know, they're called to tell their story. Then they are encouraged to give thanks to God for His unfailing love and His wonderful deeds for mankind. And there are moments when we feel and understand that, where we're ready to tell our story about how God has really blessed us and how we can be thankful for His unfailing love and His wonderful deeds because we feel them on our hearts. Sorry, that's a lot.
Et on a lu dans le psaume 107 où le psalmiste dit aux personnes qui ont vécu la bénédiction de Dieu, qui ont été livrées par Dieu, de dire leur reconnaissance envers Dieu. Et nous aussi, il y a des moments dans la vie où on est reconnaissant, on ressent cette reconnaissance envers Dieu.
And usually that's when life is going well, you know, we get that job that we're hoping to get, the interview went well, we found a new, really cheap apartment in the city center of Bordeaux, it was wonderful, maybe we've just gotten married, maybe we've just we've gotten a new child. It's usually in moments when we feel like things are going all right.
Et souvent c'est quand tout se passe bien dans la vie, on vient de trouver un nouveau appartement, on a le travail qu'on voulait, peut-être on vient de se marier ou qu'on vient d'accoucher.
Maybe we came, we just finished going, visiting a beautiful country abroad. Any moment. But on the other hand, you don't have to go there. On the other hand, sometimes we are struck by life's pain and struggle.
Mais à d'autres moments, on est touché par la difficulté de la vie.
And you know, man, that list could be long. You know, we lose family members, we get sick, we fall out with friends, we can't find a job. We've gone through the 20th interview and still nothing. Impossible to find an apartment or a home to live in. All these other struggles or issues that sort of describe the normal human life.
Et la liste est longue. On perd un membre de la famille, on perd des amis, on ne trouve pas de travail, on ne trouve pas d'appartement. Et la liste des difficultés dans la vie, elle est longue.
See, and understood in the wrong light or in the wrong way, these painful events can make us doubt God's unfailing love that we felt before. Can make us forget His wonderful deeds towards us.
Avec une mauvaise compréhension de ces moments difficiles, on peut douter de la bonté de Dieu.
But Jacob's faith here hasn't been shaken because of the death of his wife. He doesn't stop believing in God's blessings towards him or the promises that God gives him.
Mais la foi de Jacob n'a pas été bousculée par la mort de sa femme. Il n'a jamais arrêté de croire dans les promesses de Dieu.
Rather, it's been matured. That's why he does this. That's why he adopts both of Joseph's sons.
Mais au contraire, sa foi est devenue plus mûre, et c'est pour ça qu'il adopte les deux fils de Joseph.
It's an expression for him of his belief that these sons will make it out of Egypt to the land that God has promised him, and they will be able to receive an inheritance in that land.
En faisant cela, il exprime sa foi que ses deux fils vont sortir d'Égypte et vont avoir le pays que Dieu lui a promis.
And Jacob is expressing his faith in God's promises regardless of the disappointment and pain he experienced when his favorite wife died.
Et Jacob, il exprime cette foi malgré la déception d'avoir perdu sa femme.
Yeah, favorite is the wrong word. The wife he loved the most, maybe, is what we could say. See, the reality of his suffering has not led him to disbelieve that God can accomplish his promises. Rather, he's able to trust that they will be fulfilled, and so he can pass on those promises to his children, and even his grandchildren.
Donc, cette déception n'a pas fait que Jacob a arrêté de croire dans les promesses de Dieu. Au contraire, ça lui a permis de les transmettre à son fils et à ses petits-fils.
This comes as a great encouragement for us to do the same.
Et ça nous encourage à faire la même chose.
It's an encouragement for us to not let life's momentary troubles keep us from seeing the eternal glory that is to come.
Ça nous encourage à ne pas laisser les moments difficiles mais temporaires de la vie à ne pas nous aveugler de la bonté à venir.
I want to read a passage from the New Testament where Paul expresses this quite beautifully, and it's in 2 Corinthians 4, and we'll read from verse 16.
Donc on va lire dans 2 Corinthiens 4 à partir du verset 16.
Paul has been speaking about his suffering, about the weakness he feels, even though he's an apostle of God. And he says this, he says, "Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal."
Donc Paul, après avoir raconté sa souffrance aux Corinthiens, il dit ceci: "Voilà pourquoi nous ne perdons pas courage, et même si notre être intérieur se détruit, notre être extérieur se détruit, notre être intérieur se renouvelle de jour en jour. En effet, nos légères difficultés du moment présent produisent pour nous, au-delà de toute mesure, un poids éternel de gloire. Ainsi, nous regardons non pas à ce qui est visible, mais à ce qui est invisible, car les réalités visibles sont passagères et les invisibles sont éternelles.
So what Paul is saying here is the persecution he faces, the weaknesses he feels, the pain he has to deal with day by day, that is what will achieve for him an eternal glory that far outweighs any suffering he might go by.
Donc ce que Paul est en train de dire, c'est que les persécutions, les douleurs auxquelles il fait face, c'est ça qui va faire produire en lui possibilité de voir cette future gloire.
This is what Jacob is expressing by the comparison of God's promises and blessing on him and his wife's death. He realizes the sorrow he felt through his wife's death and is able to move past that, to trust in God's goodness through it, is what has enabled him to have a faith that's been matured and to see the glory that is to come.
Et c'est ce que exprime Jacob aussi quand il compare les bénédictions de Dieu avec la mort de sa femme. Il dit que c'est cette mort, cette tristesse qui a produit en lui cette foi plus mûre pour pouvoir croire dans la gloire à venir de Dieu.
So we're called to fix our eyes on God's promises to bring out to bring us to glory. Second, we're encouraged as well through Jacob's example to be honest about our sorrow.
Donc deuxièmement, comme Jacob, on est appelé à être honnête par rapport à nos souffrances.
I can count on one hand the number of times I've seen my father cry, or I've seen him express sadness toward about something, express a sorrow about something towards me, to me.
Je peux compter sur une seule main le nombre de fois où j'ai vu mon père pleurer, ou le nombre de fois où mon père m'a raconté des moments de souffrance.
But one of them was when his own father passed away.
Mais un de ces moments, c'était quand son propre père est mort.
And seeing him cry was an incredibly touching moment for me, which taught me the gravity of death. But also seeing him the next day, not wallowing in sorrow, but being able to live life with that weight on him, taught me that though death is hard and harsh, it's not the end.
Donc un de ces moments, c'était quand il a perdu son propre père, et voir mon père pleurer m'a appris la lourdeur de la mort, mais quand je l'ai vu le jour d'après et qu'il continue avec la vie, ça m'a aussi appris que j'ai perdu.
Death is momentary, really.
Que le mort n'est que la mort n'est que temporaire.
Que passagère.
Que passagère.
Temporaire, good, sorry. This is what's happening with Jacob and his sons, isn't it? He's sharing this moment of suffering. And we can sometimes feel like the best way to deal with sorrow is to cover it up and to put it away and to block it away and let nobody know about it or to not tell people about it. But Jacob's experience is that sorrow can be shared in perspective of God's care for us.
On est souvent tenté de nier la souffrance et de... On est tenté de nier la souffrance et de la cacher, de pas en parler.
But Jacob's experience is that sorrow can be shared in the perspective of God's care.
Mais ce que Jacob nous montre, c'est que on peut partager la souffrance dans la perspective du soin de Dieu.
We can say, yeah, this really painful and hard and terrible thing has happened to me, and I'm really sad about it, but I don't lose heart because I know that God is renewing me through this day after day. He is making me into a new glorious person in the image of his son. That's what we read in 2 Corinthians.
Et Jacob, il dit, oui, j'ai vécu des souffrances et la vie n'a pas été facile, mais je sais qu'à travers ces épreuves, Dieu est en train de me renouveler et de me faire grandir.
So though life may be difficult and sad, God's trust and God's promises can help us carry through these moments to a mature faith, and can also help us share these moments with others in a healthy and encouraging way.
Donc malgré les difficultés de la vie, la confiance dans la foi dans les promesses de Dieu nous aide à travers ces difficultés avoir une foi qui mûrit, mais aussi de partager ces difficultés avec les autres.
So that was I said there were two events that happened and two things we're going to learn through these events. That was the first event, Jacob sharing his experiences adopting Joseph's sons. Now on to the second event.
Donc ça c'était le premier événement, Jacob qui partage ces choses avec ses petits-fils. Et maintenant le deuxième événement.
But the weird thing is his petits-fils have become his fils now.
Ses petits-fils qui sont devenus ses fils.
Second one. After adopting Ephraim and Manasseh as his own firstborn sons, Jacob goes on to bless them. Now, did you guys notice anything unusual here?
Donc la deuxième chose, après avoir adopté ses petits-fils Ephraim et Manassé comme ses fils, il continue leur donnant sa bénédiction. Donc il se passe quelque chose d'inhabituel ici. Et qu'est-ce que c'est?
I told you guys, look out for the weird, for the unusual thing. Did anyone catch the unusual thing?
Donc quelle était cette chose bizarre?
The younger son would be bigger than the bigger.
The younger son will be
have more land and more.
Yeah, okay.
Blah, blah, blah.
He puts the younger son before the older son, doesn't he?
Donc la chose assez peu conventionnelle, c'est qu'il met le cadet avant l'aîné.
I've never heard that one before. I was like, whoa, cadet. Anyways, yeah. Sorry. See, the author takes time to describe it in a bit of detail. And even Joseph pointed out his issue with this in verse 18.
Et on le voit en dessin, et même Joseph, il dit qu'il n'est pas d'accord avec ça. On le voit dans le verset 18.
See, as we continue the story from verse 8, we see that Israel notices, so he's adopted Ephraim and Manasseh as his own sons, and then he notices that they're there. He says, wait, who are these? And Joseph says, well, these are my sons.
Donc, on le voit à partir du verset 8 que Israël ou Jacob vient d'adopter ses petits-fils et puis il se rend compte qu'ils sont là. Il dit à Joseph, mais qui sont ceux-ci?
I find that funny. Who are these? Who do they belong to? They belong to you, Dad. That's what he probably said, Joseph. You just adopted them. And is noticing the sons, he says, well, bring them over and I'll bless them.
Et quand il voit ses fils, il dit... amenez-les-moi pour que je puisse les bénir.
So Joseph, he takes the youngest son and puts it at his father's left hand. Right? So he says to the father's right, next to his left hand.
Donc Joseph, il amène le plus jeune et le met du côté gauche de son père.
That would be me putting the son next to William's left hand right there. But it's at William's right. Left. His right, from my perspective. This is what the story is telling us. Joseph's right. He's putting it at Israel's right side from his own perspective. Anyways, he puts Manasseh, Ephraim, on Jacob's left hand.
Donc il met Ephraim du côté gauche de Jacob.
And then he puts the older son, Manasseh, on Israel's right hand.
Puis il met l'aîné Manassé sous la main droite de Jacob.
The reason he does this is because the right hand goes on the older son to give him the greater blessing, and the left hand goes on the younger son to give him the slightly lesser blessing.
Et il fait ceci parce que la main droite va sur le plus grand pour donner la plus grande bénédiction. Et la main gauche va sur le cadet, le plus jeune, pour donner la bénédiction un peu plus petite.
And so, what does Israel do? Does he put his right hand on Manasseh and his left hand on Ephraim and sort of goes about blessing them?
Donc, qu'est-ce qu'il fait, Israël? Est-ce qu'il met sa main droite sur l'aîné et sa main gauche sur le cadet?
No, he inverses them. He goes like this. And then blesses them.
Non, il fait l'inverse. Il fait comme ça, et il les bénit.
And Joseph, seeing this, is upset and probably thinking that, okay, my father is old, he can't really see well, he just doesn't know who's who, and says, no, dad, you've got your hand on the wrong son, that's the younger brother. You got to put him on the older brother, who's right here.
Et Joseph, il n'est pas très content, il doit se dire, oui, mon père, il est vieux, il ne comprend pas très bien. Il lui dit, non, tu te trompes, père, tu as mis la mauvaise main sur le mauvais frère.
But his father refuses and says, I know, son, I know. Now he too will become a great people, and he will become great. Nevertheless, his younger brother will be greater than he, and his descendants will become a group of nations. And he blessed them on that day and said, in your name will Israel pronounce this blessing. May God make you like Ephraim and Manasseh. So he put Ephraim ahead of Manasseh.
Et son père lui répond dans le verset 19. Je sais, mon fils, je sais. Lui aussi donnera naissance à un peuple. Lui aussi sera grand. Mais son frère cadet sera plus grand que lui. Et sa descendance remplira les nations. Il est béni ce jour-là, il dit. C'est par toi qu'Israël bénira en disant. Que Dieu te traite comme Ephraim et comme Manassé. Il plaça Ephraim avant Manassé.
Now, I hope when we're reading this, you guys were all thinking, why? Why is Jacob doing this really unusual thing?
Et j'espère qu'en lisant ceci, vous vous demandez tous, mais pourquoi est-ce que Jacob il fait ça?
Well, here's the reason why. It's because Jacob has finally realized something incredibly important about the way God works.
Et voici pourquoi. Jacob, il a enfin compris quelque chose par rapport à la façon dont Dieu il marche, il travaille.
See, he realizes that the God who appeared to him at Luz to bless him is also the God who works in unconventional ways.
Il a réalisé que le Dieu qui lui était apparu à Luz et le même Dieu qui travaille d'une manière assez inhabituelle, peu conventionnelle.
He doesn't do what people expect him to do.
Il ne fait pas ce que les gens s'y attendent à ce qu'il fasse.
See, all throughout the story of this family, throughout the life of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, we see that to be true.
Et tout au long de la vie de cette famille, d'Abraham, de Isaac à Jacob, on voit que cette chose est réelle.
God doesn't go about blessing the obvious person.
Dieu ne bénit pas la personne à qui on s'attend.
See, he chooses Abraham to bless him with a great nation. Abraham is 75 years old. How many here think that it's possible? And his wife is probably 74, very close to this. How possible, probable is it to have any kids at 75 and 74 years old?
Dieu il bénit Abraham, un homme qui a 75 ans et qui a une femme qui a 74 ans à peu près. Et il dit qu'ils vont être une grande nation, mais qui ici pense que c'est possible à 75 ans d'avoir des enfants?
They have no kids. You know, you want God to choose, you'd expect God to choose a younger guy with a younger wife. Someone who has the potential of having loads of kids.
Ils n'avaient pas d'enfants. On s'y attend plutôt à ce que Dieu choisisse un couple plus jeune qui en a pour son ciel d'avoir des enfants.
But that's not how he does. He blesses, furthermore, he blesses Abraham's second son, Isaac, rather than his first son, Ishmael. At that time, you would bless your firstborn son, not the younger son.
Ensuite, Dieu il bénit le deuxième fils d'Abraham, Isaac, au lieu de son premier, au lieu de l'aîné, Ishmael.
And now Isaac did. And the same thing happens for Jacob and Esau, Isaac's two sons. Now Jacob did cheat to get the blessing, but he got the blessing.
La même chose se passe pour les fils d'Isaac, Jacob et Esaü. Bon, Jacob, il a quand même trompé son père et son frère pour avoir la bénédiction, mais il a quand même eu la bénédiction.
You see that God chooses Jacob over Esau. And I was talking to someone recently who had just done a Bible study on the life of Jacob. And, yeah, no.
On voit que Dieu, il choisit Jacob au lieu de choisir Esaü.
And the thing that stood out to everyone at this Bible study was that there was absolutely no reason for God to choose Jacob.
Donc je parlais récemment à une personne qui préparait une étude biblique par rapport à ce passage, et tout le monde s'est rendu compte qu'il n'y a aucune raison pourquoi Dieu aurait choisi Jacob au lieu d'Ésaü.
Or even just period, really. Why would you choose Jacob? He's not, he's a hard person to like. You know, he's a super competitive guy. He's a cheater. His name literally means, Jacob literally means he who grasps the heel, which is translated, he who takes advantage.
Jacob, c'est pas un personnage très aimable, c'est quelqu'un qui triche, qui est très compétitif. Son prénom même veut dire une personne qui attrape par le talon.
He's not the type of guy you'd even like to play board games with, because you know he'd cheat or swindle you.
C'est pas quelqu'un avec qui on aimerait faire des jeux de société parce qu'on sait qu'il va tricher.
Let alone be a neighbor with him.
On n'aimerait pas être son voisin.
But because God works in unique ways, in unusual ways, he chooses Jacob.
Mais parce que Dieu travaille d'une manière assez inhabituelle, il choisit quand même Jacob.
Now Jacob has understood this and understood that because he was blessed and he didn't deserve that blessing, he was probably going to bless the unlikeliest candidate, Ephraim, rather than Manasseh.
Et Jacob, il l'a compris parce que lui, il a reçu la bénédiction alors qu'il ne le méritait pas. Lui aussi, il est parti pour bénir le frère à qui on s'y attend pas.
See, he cheated his way into the blessing, but now he's realizing, hey, look, I can just trust God and bless the younger son directly and publicly rather than hiding it.
Et Jacob, il a triché pour avoir cette bénédiction, mais il sait maintenant qu'il peut faire confiance à Dieu et qu'il peut ouvertement bénir le fils cadet.
Now, this doctrine of the unconventional work of God, I'm kidding, it's not an actual thing, but I wish it was, it actually ends up being an enormous encouragement for us.
Donc, le fait de savoir que Dieu travaille d'une manière assez inhabituelle et peu conventionnelle peut être très encourageant pour nous.
You see, if God decided to save the most obvious candidates, if God decided to take as his people the most obvious choice, he wouldn't save you or me.
Vous voyez, parce que si Dieu avait choisi la personne à qui on s'y attend qu'il choisisse, l'aîné, Dieu, il choisira pas ni toi ni moi.
He would choose good people, wouldn't he? He would choose those who deserve his love and mercy, not sinners who have rebelled against him.
Dieu, il choisirait les personnes qui méritent son amour, pas les pécheurs.
He wouldn't choose people who can't even live up to his standards. Why would he do that? That's not normal. That's not how we ordinarily go around about doing things. He'd choose the best and the brightest to be his people, wouldn't he?
Dieu, il choisirait les meilleures personnes. Il choisirait pas les personnes qui n'arrivent même pas à atteindre ses standards.
But look at what we read in 1 Timothy 1, verse 15 and 17. As I struggle to locate it.
Mais on va regarder 1 Timothée 1
à partir de verset 15. Here is a trustworthy statement or a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance, that deserves to be fully trusted. Christ Jesus came into the world to save the best and the brightest.
No.
Thank you, Jess. No. To save sinners, of who, now Paul's writing, he's the one who says this. He says, of who I am the worst. I'm sure all of us could identify with Paul at this point. We could say, of who we are the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen.
Donc Paul il écrit, cette parole est certaine et digne d'être acceptée sans réserve. Jésus-Christ est venu dans le monde pour sauver des pécheurs. Je suis moi-même le premier d'entre eux, mais il m'a été fait grâce afin que Jésus-Christ montre en moi le premier toute sa patience et que je serve ainsi d'exemple à ceux qui croiraient en lui pour la vie éternelle. Au roi des siècles, au Dieu immortel, invisible et seul, soit honneur et gloire au siècle des siècles. Amen.
What Paul is teaching us here And what Jacob is trying to pass on to his sons is that because God works in unconventional ways, he decides to save sinners like you and like me.
Ce que Paul est en train de nous dire et ce que Jacob montre à ses fils, c'est que parce que Dieu œuvre de manière inconventionnelle, il sauve des pécheurs comme toi et comme moi.
Therefore, we can share the gospel with the least likeliest candidates, knowing that God is at work to save people like them.
Et ça veut dire qu'on peut partager l'évangile avec des candidats peu probables, sachant que Dieu peut sauver des personnes.
If you're sat here thinking, there's absolutely no way God would want me as his son or his daughter, well, Jacob is telling you the opposite. Yes, he does.
Si aujourd'hui vous vous dites, mais c'est pas possible que Dieu puisse vouloir moi comme fils ou comme fille, Jacob est en train de te dire, non, c'est le contraire.
Furthermore, if God acted in normal, in ordinary ways, not only would he save good people, but he'd work to further his kingdom through influential and powerful people, wouldn't he?
De plus, si Dieu marchait de manière conventionnelle et habituelle et choisissait des bonnes personnes, il avancerait aussi son royaume à travers des personnes qui ont le pouvoir, des personnes assez influentielles.
He would work through the cleverest of guys and girls. He'd work through the most... people who could bring up helpful words to think of.
Il choisirait les personnes les plus intelligentes.
But he prefers to work through the weak and the overlooked and the lowly to bring about great blessings to the world as a whole. He can work through broken people like us to reflect the glory of his son, Jesus Christ.
Mais Dieu, il œuvre à travers les personnes les plus petites et les plus pauvres pour refléter la gloire de Jésus.
And he can use a small church like Bordeaux Church to make the gospel shine in this city.
Et il peut utiliser une petite église comme Bordeaux Church pour faire que la gloire de Jésus brille dans la ville.
Hindsight is 20/20. Very often, it's only at the end of our lives that we see how God can work through suffering and through pain and through our weakness and through our struggles to bring about growth in our faith and character.
C'est vraiment à la fin de notre vie qu'on regarde en arrière et qu'on peut voir que Dieu travaille à travers les difficultés et la souffrance dans notre vie.
It's the same with Jacob. He's lived for more than 130 years, but it's only at the very end of his life that he seems to grasp the way God works.
C'est la même chose avec Jacob. Il a vécu plus de 130 ans, mais c'est vraiment à la fin de sa vie qu'il commence à comprendre comment Dieu y travaille.
It's only at the very end that he can tell, he can confess that God has been his shepherd all his life to this day, and that God has been his angel who has delivered him from all harm, as we see in verses 15 and 16 of chapter 48.
C'est vraiment à la fin de sa vie que Jacob il peut confesser que c'est Dieu qui a pris soin de lui et que c'est Dieu l'ange qui l'a délivré de tout mal.
He stands as a contrast to his son Joseph. Joseph seems to have understood this from a quite a young age.
Et Jacob il fait vraiment contraste avec Joseph qui donne l'impression qu'il a compris ces choses dès son très jeune âge.
See, God understands the power of God's promises and the uniqueness of how God works through his enslavement and through his imprisonment.
Joseph, il a compris la manière dont Dieu y travaille à travers son esclavage.
Yet Jacob wrestles with God all his life and feels like he needs to cheat time and time again to gain the upper hand.
Mais Jacob s'est battu avec Dieu tout au long de sa vie.
But though they come from two different places, they end up at the same place. They end up recognizing...
Et malgré le fait qu'ils arrivent de deux endroits différents, leur destination, c'est le même endroit.
Jacob has finished wrestling. And so he can faithfully say, along with Joseph, probably, that God has been my shepherd all my life. to this day, and he's delivered me from all harm. He will be with you.
Donc Jacob, il arrive en fin de vie, il a fini de se battre avec Dieu, et il dit qu'il peut reconnaître Dieu comme son berger.
And he promises that same promise stands for us, as we've seen in Psalm 107 and in other passages in the New Testament, of God keeps us by his unfailing love. And he works out wonderful deeds for us throughout day after day.
Et cette promesse est la même pour nous. Dieu nous garde dans son amour éternel.
The same God who has been Jacob's shepherd, who will be Joseph and his son's shepherd, is our shepherd as well. And we can trust that he will deliver us from all harm.
Donc le même Dieu qui a été le berger de Jacob et de ses fils est aussi notre berger. Et on peut lui faire confiance.
Let's pray together.
Prions.
Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you that you work in unconventional ways.
Seigneur, nous te remercions parce que tu travailles d'une manière peu conventionnelle.
Help us understand that your ways are not like our ways and your thoughts are not like our thoughts.
Aide-nous à comprendre que tes manières ne sont pas nos manières et que tes pensées ne sont pas les nôtres.
You desire to save and to show your unfailing love to the worst of sinners like all of us gathered here this evening.
Tu as ce désir de sauver et de montrer ton amour aux pécheurs comme nous ce soir.
Heavenly Father, help this good news of salvation work in our hearts and minds to encourage us to mature faith in you.
Seigneur, nous demandons que cette bonne nouvelle puisse travailler dans nos cœurs et dans nos esprits pour aider notre foi à mûrir.
So that when we go through moments of trouble and suffering, we can trust that through them you will help us grow.
Pour qu'à travers des moments de souffrance, nous pouvons te faire confiance que tu nous aides à grandir.
Knowing that you are working inwardly in us day after day, so that we reflect the immense and incredible glory of your Son, Jesus Christ.
Sachant que tu travailles en nous tous les jours pour qu'on puisse refléter la gloire de Jésus.
We thank you and praise you for this in his name. Amen.
Nous te remercions pour ceci. Amen.